If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open them to John, the Gospel of John. It's found on the Bible in front of you in a rack on page 886. And we are embarking on going through the Gospel of John. What a great gospel this is going to be for us. And I encourage you to read through John and just soak in what John has for us. I do need to make one more comment about the Cornerstone Rescue Mission. We're feeding in 2 weeks at the Cornerstone Rescue Mission, and we still have some slots to fill on at the information desk. So if you want to help out with that, please feel free to sign your name up for that. John chapter 1 is an interesting start to the whole book. I wonder if you've ever been in a place where somebody has repeated themselves over with a slightly different version and you weren't sure what they were saying exactly. For instance, I am going over there, that place away from me, to that somewhere not here. You look at him and say, didn't you just say the same thing like the same time? Or, will you eat this apple, this red juicy fruit, this food picked from a tree to eat? Kind of look at that person and you're like, what are they saying exactly? Why didn't they just say, eat the apple? Or why didn't they just say, I'm going over there? What is happening there exactly? There are some things about the passage today that at first glance, you're like, what is really being said? And John starts his gospel off in this way, using this word called word. Now, we're going to talk about this for a little bit, of what the word means, and it can seem rather confusing at first glance and challenging, but this is where it starts. John Piper actually says this about the start of the book. John says in the very first words out of the end of my pen, I will stun you and blow you away with the identity of this man who became flesh and dwelt among us. He wants us to know that Jesus Christ was with God and was God, and that the one who laid down his life for us created the universe. So, who is this word? What does it mean for me? And why does John start his whole book out like this? So, let's start in John chapter 1. Many of you know this verse because you've heard it many parts of your lives, but here's what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And verse 5 as well. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That will be shared next week, that verse 5. And I'm just going to go through verses 1 through 4 today. The first thing I want you to see is it says, in the beginning was the Word. I made reference to this last week in one of the services, I believe. I don't think I did in both services. But there is another book in the Bible that starts with the words, in the beginning. And that is the very first book of the Bible that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so in my Bible, here we have about that much further. And then all of a sudden, the author says, in the beginning. There must be a reason why he hearkens us back to those same words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did this all start? And John must be telling us there's an importance about the beginning of everything that we understand. He's trying to say to us, this is the Word. He is trying to connect, I think, to us, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sometimes we try to put those in different aspects. Well, I don't know if we really need the Old Testament. The Old Testament, we just need the New Testament. But he's saying it's important. It's valuable. It's good. This word, is actually the word logos in the word Greek. It was understood by Jews and Greeks, and logos basically means the thought or reason within a person. So the expression of his thought in speech. So Jews use logos for God's written word. The word was not a created thing, but was before creation. this is talking about the pre-existence of Christ that we talked about a little bit last week. Not in bodily form, but in heavenly or spiritual realm. So why did John choose to call Jesus the Word? According to one, says this, because he had come to see the words of Jesus as the truth of God and the person of Jesus as the truth of God in such a unified way that Jesus himself in his coming and working and teaching and dying and rising was the final and decisive measure of God. Or to put it more simply, what God had to say to us was not only or mainly what Jesus said, but who Jesus was and what he did. His words clarified himself and his work, such as, I am the truth, like John 14, verse 6. So who was the Word? Sometimes when we look at this, if you've done much study on this, you know that the Word means Jesus. But how do you pick that up in verses 1 through 4? Well, you don't necessarily pick that up until you go down to verse 14. So go down with me to verse 14, and it says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, why is John doing this? Is he, I'm just going to sneak up on him here a little bit. I mean, he never says, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And he doesn't say down in verse 14, and Jesus became flesh. Why is he doing that exactly? I think that he wants us to look a little deeper. And he wants us to understand that there's something deeper here for us. Jesus is the Word. And Jesus is the Word in which we read, the Word in which we see. Now, you are thinking words on a page is what you're thinking. And that's what I think when I hear the word Word, is I think of a word on a page. But the Word became flesh, and he lived it out for us. And so, let's put it this way. When people see you, what do they really see? I could look around the room here and I could give a couple of your names and I could say, what do they see when they see Butch? Or what do they see when they see Matt? Or what do they see when they see Brent? Or what do they see when they see Jim? We have these, oh, well, I know what it means. When I see Eric, I know what Eric means. And John is saying, when you see Jesus, when we have it written on a page, he's living out this life. So when people see you and you insert your name, what do people see in you? Do they see yourself as a Christian? Do they see yourself as a believer? Do they see yourself as a carpet guy? Do they see you as a mechanic? Do they see you as a student? Do they see you as a star athlete? Do they see you as a preacher? Do they see you as a salesman? Do they see you as an educator? Do they see you as a nurse? I can just keep going on and on and on. Or do they see something a little different? And this is what I think John is trying to get to us. He's not saying, well, he's just the Word. No, there's something deeper there. This is Jesus. Who is the Word? Watch him. It's also stated this way in a book by John called Revelation. In verse 13, he says, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And so it's mentioned several times here. Thus, John is saying, I'm going to tell you, this is what he's saying in the beginning, I'm going to tell you a story about Jesus. And he was in the beginning. He didn't just come to be in the last few years, but he's been there. And he was from the beginning of time. Now, let me go off for just a moment into the weeds. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in the weeds, and some of you are like, what's he talking about exactly? But let me go further in the weeds here for just a moment. You've got to understand something here. We are locked in this place called time. You're locked in it. Because you're here. And right now, it's whatever time it is. We're locked in time. And you're like, well, but they're ahead of us because they're 2 hours ahead of us on the eastern side. They are. But we're all locked in this time continuum. But God is not in time. Hear this quote. God dwells in eternity, but time dwells in God. And when you start looking at this word, in the beginning was the Word, well, then was Jesus not created before the beginning? No, he's outside of time. And we are in this time. I think what John is telling is merely that he's been there and he was there in the beginning, so don't forget it. And so though we're locked in this time, the Godhead is outside of time, but they were there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, I encourage you to do that. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it tells us this. It says, and God said, let there be light. And then you see also God said, let the waters in the heavens be gathered. And you go on through, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. And then in verse 26, he uses these words. Let us make man in our image. Now, that's an interesting us there. So was Jesus not around when he was making the other things? No, I think that he was. Actually, if you look in verse 2, and many times we don't look at verse 2, but if you look at verse 2, it says this. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Right there at the beginning, we have the Spirit of God. In verse 26, we have, let us make man. And that is where it harkens back to God. He was with Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. And so they're all right there. Man was made in the image of God from the very beginning. Think of Jesus when he came in the physical form. Think of him coming in a ghostly form or some other form. He wouldn't have been able to save the world. He had to be mankind. He had to be fully flesh. Or think about this. How about if Jesus came as a salamander? Now, that seems preposterous, all right? But he could have if he wanted to. But what is a salamander going to do for us? You ever been saved by a salamander? If you have, that's a whole other story we probably should talk about. How about if Jesus came as a grain of wheat? He didn't come as a grain of wheat. How about a whale? Hey, Jesus is a whale. No, he was a person, and he came. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus was with God in the beginning, who created the world. It's important because it's telling us, why is this important? It's telling us about the pre-existence of Christ. Jesus didn't just show up as a man, and where was he? He had been with God, he was with God, and then he showed up in bodily figure. Now, I think that when Jesus returns, he's going to come back with some kind of bodily figure. Now, I don't know what kind of bodily figure that is, but I think he's going to come back in some kind of fleshly form. There are some people who would say that he would still have some holes in his hands and holes in his feet. That's how he went back to heaven, we believe, because Thomas said, unless I see the holes in his hands and in his feet, I'm not going to believe. And so Jesus is like, here, see. We're not sure how he's going to come back, but Jesus is coming back, and the word Jesus is part of eternity. Jesus helps fulfill all the written word for us. If you look at the Old Testament, sometimes you wonder, what was God up to? What was God doing? And if you look at the Old Testament, sometimes you're like, man, God's kind of mean, and he's stern, and why are they annihilating everything? And this is what Jesus said. I have not come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. Thus, he was a continuation of the word. It was told that there was a little girl who was confronted with some of the more bloodthirsty and savage parts of the Old Testament, and her comment was this. But that happened before God became a Christian. John is saying this. God was always a Christian, but we couldn't know all of God until Jesus came. That's why Jesus came, is to give us a better snapshot of the Godhead. Have you ever been with someone, and have you ever been with someone? I think this is important, and you may say with is, what does that mean exactly? But here's what I'm trying to say. You probably have said, well, I went to church, and I was with Pastor Steve at church. Now, I'm assuming that hopefully I get to talk to or at least say hi to most of you before we leave today, but we probably aren't really with one another. There's another time that we can be with one another, but it's not when I'm just standing up here talking and you're just listening to me and providing maybe a little bit of facial feedback and hopefully not sleeping of some kind. A couple of you aren't because you left, and that's good. But there's something about being with and being with. And I want you to understand this. This wasn't just Jesus was with God. He was God. They were together. They were together. There's something about those times when you're with somebody, you're like, I know I was with them. And it wasn't just a huge gathering of people. It was you were intimately involved, and that's who Jesus and God were. They were intimately involved together in the beginning of time. They're going to be intimately involved together now. They're intimately involved at the end of time and outside of time. Remember, we're still locked in this. The Word was God. Plain as day. No other words to say it. Jesus was God. Of course, we're going to see throughout John, he's going to utter several I ams, but John wants us to know that Jesus and God are together. We struggle with this, though. At least I do a little bit. Maybe you don't. It's very difficult for us, for our human minds to understand how can two things be the same. We struggle with that. If you don't struggle with that, then you have a mind that's loftier than mine. How do those two things and the Spirit also, how do those three things, how are they all the same? The NEB states, what God was, the Word was. Let me repeat again. What God was, the Word was. Let me use an illustration, and I don't know if this will work exactly, but we'll try it. There are relatively few. I don't think there's a lot of these, but there's a relatively few couples that are married for a long, 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 long time, 60 years, 75 years, but I think this is relatively few. But there are some couples that when they're married that long, they just, they kind of eat the same foods. At times they start looking alike. They start finishing each other's sentences. And they just kind of do things all together. Now, this isn't true for every couple, all right? And I don't know if this is true for you or not in your marriage. You don't have to do this. But there are some couples that are like this. There was one couple here a while back, if I remember correctly. One of them died, and like within 16 hours or 24 hours or 48 hours, the other one died. They were all obviously old and they were old. There's something about those couples that you're around them and one starts talking and I think we should go out for supper at Perkins. And like, how, was that what you were going to say? Yep. That's what I was going to say. Well, how do you, well, maybe they go Perkins every Thursday night or something. I don't know, but they just fill that in, and there's just you just see that connection. If I may say, oh, may our marriages be more like that than more divided. Sometimes our marriages we're kind of on our own little pathways. If you're in that way, turn that around and try to bring those together even more. But the reason why I'm sharing this with you is I think, in an illustration that maybe doesn't go all the way, that's who God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is. They just work together, and they're just a combination, and there's nothing that's happening outside of them. They're like, oh, that took me totally by surprise. Some of us have that in our marriages. We're like, really? You think that? We've been married 42 years. Are you kidding me? Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. Now with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they're together. The Word was God. The next part of this, verse 3, is actually one of these, again, twisting things. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, what's John saying here? He's basically saying the same thing twice, once in the positive and once in the negative. All things are made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things. There is nothing that has not been made by him. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. We live in a day and age where we are told that we came from some amoeba, and then we are our distant ancestors are apes. I will state the text clearly. Here's what it says. All things were made through him. Everything. There is not a thing that has not been made by God, period. I don't say this in a mean way. I say it in a way that should be helpful for each of us. Hear me in this. You were made by God. And that should do something greatly within your soul because you weren't just metamorphosis into something else. God made you. That's a purpose. There is a plan in there. You are not junk. You were made by God's hand. Man didn't evolve from some mass. If we didn't have him, the truth of the matter is we are not here. Without God, we aren't here. Thus, our praise should be given back to him. Everything, and hear me in this also, everything was in God to create the world. He didn't have to go down to the hardware store and say, huh, I'd like to throw some stars into the atmosphere, so I need to go buy some stars. He didn't have to do that. Everything was in God in order to make the world. He didn't have to go find materials. He didn't have to go find whatever black hole might be. He is, and he made it. How powerful God is, and may we be very careful to treat him as such in our words and our actions. And maybe you just need to hear this today. He made everything, and he made you, and you have a purpose. And even in your life, at times when you think, I don't have a purpose, and nobody cares, and nobody gives a rip, God does, because he made you. Everything was made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John, a little bit later, he talks about life. He talks about eternal life, and he states it here early on in his gospel. Life is in Jesus. That's what he says. In him was life. Basic. You want to know life? Know Jesus. Life is a key word. He starts and then he ends in verse 20, verse 31, which I shared not so long ago. But by believing, you may have life in his name. In 5, verse 40, come that you may have life. In 10, verse 10, come that you may have life to the full. In 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life occurs more than 35 times, and the verb to live or have life occurs more than 15 times. What is life? Life is the opposite of destruction, condemnation, and death. If you have life, according to 10 verse 28, says if you have life, you will never perish. A commentator says this, the man who lives a Christless life exists, but he does not know what life is. Let me repeat that. The man who lives a Christless life exists, but he does not know what life is. If you have life in Jesus Christ, you know what life is. If you don't have life in Jesus Christ, then you're merely going through the motions, and I encourage you to come to a life of Jesus Christ, because in him is life. It says it right here. In him was life. He offers us life eternal because he is eternal. He couldn't offer us that if that was not his characteristic. You have eternal life because God is eternal, because Jesus is eternal, because the Holy Spirit is eternal. So how does one enter into the life of Christ? By believing in his name. The word believe is also in this gospel more than 70 times. Do you believe? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, how does this apply to you? You may be saying, that's nice. I appreciate that. That was a wonderful little part. How does this apply to you? Know that Jesus is the revealed word to us. If you want to know life, then you need to know the revealed word of Jesus. If you want to know God, you need to know Jesus. And John's going to tell us a lot about Jesus in his gospel. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: the Son is the exact radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And because Jesus is the revealed word and is eternal and is life, we can have this life that is available to us. So do you know this Jesus that became flesh? Do you know how he became the word and he was eternal? Do you have life today in Christ? I want you to also look beyond these walls. And I want you to think about something else here today, if you will. You don't even have to look at me at this point in time, but I want you to think of someone that you know that is not living a Christian life. Somebody that doesn't even want Christ in their life. Or maybe somebody that's very, very, very close. Do you know that they need this life? They need to know this Jesus. There's someone around you that's merely existing and needs the life of Christ. Here's what the scripture says: let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I want to pray for that for you today, that this word would just be something that would become within you, something that's so grand that you would just have life and have it to the full, and others would see it and they would say, I need that. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for each person that's in this room today. Thank you for your word and how it is fleshed out for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you were in the beginning and the Holy Spirit and you created our world. Lord Jesus, I pray for somebody here today that just needed to be reminded that you made everything. You created the world. You were there at the beginning, and thank you that nothing was made except through your hand. So thank you for your hand that you made us. Give us life. May we have life to the full. I pray for somebody here today that has been missing out on life, and life's been happening, but they're not really in life. They've been kind of missing it. I pray that they have life in you and that you would speak in and through them. And then, Lord, as we think about the people that are on the other side of these walls, think about the many people that drive along Elkville Road. We think about this neighborhood and these apartments. We think about our own neighborhoods and our surroundings where people are just merely existing and they don't have your life. I pray that you would use us to share these concepts. I know, Lord, we can't necessarily talk to them from these passages in depth right at the beginning because they wouldn't understand, but help us to understand that you were there and that you made everything and that we can have life in you. So Lord, thank you for being our life. I pray for each person as they walk out of these doors today, they would know that they have life in you and they live a life to the full. Grant each step, each thought, each action this week be according to your purpose and your plan. Thank you, God, for this day. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming today. You're dismissed.